Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 29. A Study in Cramoisie. A broad silver basin curved away from Harry's toes, filling the center of the room from the innermost bench. Countless rings of silver runes circled the inside, gleaming with soft white magic. Gabby lay on her back at the bottom, bouncing her white-socked heels on the curve and etching runes into the basin. "You look like you're a Vila dessert in the bowl of a very large giant," Harry said. She giggled. "Do I look tasty?" Harry chuckled. "Not so much clothing." "Wait!" Gabby snickered. "Today I'm telling Fleur." "I didn't even mean it that way," he sighed. "What are you doing that needed me anyway?"
"I'm bored of tweaking the pattern of runes in here by myself, and I know you're not doing anything until Grace gets back from his meeting."
Gabby rolled herself around until she was on her front, staring up from beneath his toes.
"Care to join me?"
Harry glanced at her shoes on the floor, bent down and tugged off his, kicking them aside. "How slidey is it?"
"Very," Gabby grinned. "I've fallen down it like 100 times. That's why I'm rolling around like a seal."
He sidestepped and sat on the edge, ooching himself over and slipping down the smooth silver surface to the bottom. Gabby poked him in the back with her toes.
"See, it's like a slide."
"So you've built a pensive that doubles as a children's playground?"
"When your child's born, you can roll them down there," Gabby giggled,
sliding down beside him, "like a chubby little ball." "And end up with a tiny screaming ball of feathers," Harry muttered.
"Apparently Fleur cried a lot when she was younger, so probably," she said. "No feathers, though. That comes in our teens."
"Why?" he asked. "Why not earlier?" Gabby shrugged.
"Adult plumage for enticing villa mates. We get little fluffy white ones, but not full-on feathers."
Harry squinted at her. "Something tells me that's not true," she sniggered.
"You'll find out."
"I can't wait. So far, everything I've read seems to imply I'll get no sleep and spend all my time cleaning up the mess." He shuffled around. "And that's without even getting to the bird baby part."
"At least Fleur will be back to being sane," Gabby said. "Well, less insane."
"She's just a little bit cranky," Harry said. "I don't think she means it. I hope not." Gabby's grey eyes softened and she patted him on the knee.
"She doesn't, trust me. If she really felt any shred of doubt, she wouldn't love you. She just lashes out to make sure."
"She knows how to hurt me," he murmured. "It's okay though. It's worth it. A little bit of pain is fine if it lets her know I love her."
"She shouldn't do it," Gabby muttered.
"But Fleur can't help herself sometimes. Like you."
"You're not my therapist," Harry grinned. "Get out of my head."
"I am," she poked him in the shoulder with her wand. "I am exactly your therapist.
And Fleur's? I always have to step in when she gets sharp. I have for years. Papa does not really understand, and Maman, she only understands a little bit."
"Well, you don't have to step in between us," he said. "It's okay. I don't mind, really. It's worth it."
"Until she manages to set off your trust issues, then they'll be running right back to me."
Harry raised an eyebrow at her.
"Not like that."
She shot him a coy look.
"Unless the Vila soulmating bond has finally grown too strong for Fleur's dark magic to suppress."
"Not yet, I'm afraid," he replied. "Sorry, Gabby, it's pictures and voyeurism for you still." Gabby giggled.
"A smarter wizard would realize what he's sitting in."
Harry shuddered. "Please tell me you don't actually do that."
"Ask me no questions."
"Not asking any questions, then." He studied the rings of runes, tracing a finger around them. "Are they all horizontal?"
"No, there are rings at angles as well."
Gabby ran her wand tip along a circle of runes, running a curve from the top down to her heels in the basin.
"That way all the magic is tied together into one tightly woven enchantment."
"And there's me just breaking clocks," Harry snorted. "I don't think I'm very good at the research part yet."
"You'd be better at it if you actually tried." She rolled her eyes. "Fleur told me that you think Vale's going about it the wrong way. I do need to create something more like your invisibility cloak with a caduceus."
"I do," he shrugged. "But making a time turner with some abstract, high-cost piece of ritualistic blood magic seems like an unnecessary risk, especially as I'm fairly sure I destroyed all the British ones. And I have more important things to worry about, like the Conqueror."
"And feeding my sister enough cake to keep her happy," Gabby said.
"It was olives and salami yesterday, which wasn't so bad," Harry laughed. "I thought she was going to put them on pain au chocolat for a moment."
Gabby wriggled her nose.
Ugh.
My thoughts exactly. That would have been nearly as bad as when she had that entire jar of mustard for breakfast. He yawned and stretched. We have a few minutes before Grease gets back, so I can help with something if I'm any use. She tapped her wand against her palm and hummed.
I pretty much fixed everything but the timing issue. I was just adjusting the simulation of pain to make the person in the pensive experience as much pain as they expect, rather than try to create an independent impression of it. Flair and I still aren't sure how to fix the timing issue, though.
The thing where everything gets out of sync?
Not everything. The memory and the sensations we're simulating to accompany it get out of sync. Probably even more so now I've made it more complex today.
Harry frowned. I'm only good at making one clock go slightly slower than another clock.
I'm afraid this isn't a clock.
I guess I can try and make one part of the magic go slower than another. He laughed. But that's probably absolutely useless.
Maybe.
Gabby scanned her room, spinning about and craning her neck past Harry.
It's all relative, so you can't tell from inside if everything is slightly slower than it should be. If I could create some kind of time disparity between parts of the enchantment to slow the faster parts down a bit, then I could get it to stay together.
Want me to try? Harry scanned the runes. I have no idea what to do.
No, she said. You teach me the magic you're using on the clocks, and I will add it. I can weave together Flair's magic with my own because it's very similar, but not yours.
What would happen?
The intent fights becomes not smooth.
Gabby held her hands up.
I don't know how to say it, but it feels off, and it doesn't work quite as well as if it's smoothly woven together.
Fair enough. I'll teach you to mess around with clocks, and you can do all the hard work. Harry patted the smooth, warm silver. What will you do with it when it's all finished? A spark of mischief welled up in Gabby's eyes.
Steal out of Fleur's favorite moments of you and her together and experience them for myself.
Harry buried his face in his hands.
I shouldn't have asked. I won't really, she said. It'd be weird.
Because what you do already isn't weird at all.
It's not, Gabby frowned. Well, it's not as weird as you try to make it out. It's not like I really want you.
No, you just lurk outside and wait so you can listen to our magic afterward. That's completely normal.
Because you're the most normal person in the world.
I'm fairly normal. Gabby leveled him with a flat stare. Okay, I'm also weird, fair enough, Harry laughed. But at least I'm not listening to my older sister sleep with her husband to feel their magic.
But it's so nice, Gabby whispered. All the fear and panic and the stress and everything else just fades away. It's like the two of you are all warm and bright and glowing. It's really beautiful.
It's okay. We've resigned ourselves to your voyeurism, he said. You're in the clear.
It's not voyeurism, she protested. I'm not watching.
Yeah, you're right. It's totally different.
You're a bad brother-in-law, Vila soulmate, Gabby accused.
That's okay. I feel brother-in-law and Vila soulmate are best kept apart, Harry replied. And I'm very sure my wife agrees.
Flair's so bad at sharing, Gabby giggled. Especially now. You know she ate all my eclairs because of that dream she had about us eating on the cake? I found her in the kitchen stuffing her face.
I did know, he grinned. I knew before the crime was committed.
You didn't warn me, Gabby pouted. That's mean.
Flair would have known I warned you and then I would have been in trouble for siding with you again, Harry said.
Tempus, Gabby murmured. We should go to the sunshine room. Grease is probably waiting.
Harry staggered to his feet and put one foot on the curved silver surface. He stepped up and slid back down to the bottom.
I am stuck.
Gabby vanished, reappearing back at the top.
It's much easier to operate.
You should build a platform or something, he said, apparating out with a soft snap. All people who can't operate will never be able to escape.
It looks pretty, though.
She pulled on her small black heels, like a huge ball of mist. And when you go in, it's like being swallowed by silver fog. I suppose you can always throw them a portkey if they can't operate out, Harry said, shoving his feet back into his shoes and picking his way back toward the door through stacks of books and sprawling heaps of bronze and copper bowls. Prototypes?
From when we were trying to decide the best way to weave all the runes together into a pattern. We decided on circles because it kind of works with the magic that there's no ends in the pattern anywhere.
Gabby darted out ahead of him.
Let's see what Happy News Grease has.
It'll be people killing each other and destroying 2,000-year-old magical sites in the Caribbean, he said. That or the Spanish have joined in with the U.S. and the British.
Maybe they stopped?
Gabby pushed open the door to the sunshine room and blinked in the light that spilt out.
They might have realized it was stupid to fight each other over nothing.
They have not stopped, Vare rasped. It is getting worse.
I told you, Harry said.
Pessimist,
Gabby jibed. Realist, he retorted, turning to Grease. Did the Spanish decide to join in?
Not yet,
Grease said. A gleam of worry in his pink eyes.
The Egyptian magical community has started to make worrying noises, though. Britain's most recent treaty with the goblins had a clause in it that lets them plunder magical tombs to get back goblin artifacts seized when the Upper Nile Kingdom more or less committed genocide and wiped the goblins from the mountains there.
The goblins have a long memory,
Fair said.
They gloated when they pillaged the tombs of national legends, but Britain ignored Egyptian outrage.
Britain told Egypt that they were bound by Britain's treaty as one of their protectorates,
Greece said.
Albus Dumbledore did not look pleased about having to explain to them that by international wizarding law, Britain was technically right, and he looked even less pleased about the goblins gloating afterward.
Why did Britain agree? Gabby asked.
The goblins rebelled just before Grindelwald's resistance was beginning to crumble,
Greece replied.
Britain sacrificed Egyptian relics to keep them happy, so they could focus on Grindelwald.
It was the right choice,
Vare whispered.
If they had not, the statutes may have been broken.
But now it has consequences, Greece said. Activist movements have begun to turn violent and aggressive, and if I were a gambling man, I would suspect the Ottoman Caliphate is behind the scenes pushing for escalation.
Does it matter? Harry asked.
That depends,
Vare said.
If Egypt throws off the British yoke, it's fine, Greece said. If Britain crushes the Egyptian activists, it's fine. If the Ottomans get caught red-handed, Britain might retaliate and we get another Caribbean situation right there in Europe,
Gabby groaned.
Well, I'm not getting involved, you know that.
Your choice was clear, Greece said, his brow wrinkling. Sarsens as well, though she would be unable to fight anyway.
Are you about to tell me I need to go to Egypt? Harry asked. Because I am not keen on a long holiday right now.
No,
Vare said.
Not yet.
I'm not going to get any more enthusiastic, he replied. In fact, probably quite the opposite.
Gabby nodded. Violette needs to be here in France.
That may not be possible, Greece said. Amelia Bones' speech to the ICW today was a loosely dressed statement that Britain intends to fight fire with fire. The Ottomans and Spain are likely covertly involved already, and it seems very likely France will be dragged in where the conflict threatens to cause trouble for us.
The Caribbean.
The British Aurora captain, Weasley, has drowned those islands in blood,
Grace muttered.
They're all so young and stupid. They didn't see what it was like fighting Grindelwald, and the world has forgotten how much they're risking.
She has, Harry asked. What has she done?
Nothing terrible,
Vare said.
Just ruthless.
Britain hasn't finished walling all the islands, and America's puppet nations managed to destroy our very own and precious site on one of them, Greece said. The local wizards and witches fought to the death to protect their ancestral relics and temples.
Not good, Gabby murmured.
Ginevra Weasley finished putting up heavy wards everywhere else, and retaliated in kind, claiming Britain was protecting its allies from foreign aggression. She razed three sites that were just as precious to U.S. allies and killed everyone there under a British flag.
Fantastic, Harry said. So that all sounds like it's going really well. I would like to go on record as saying I'm as enthusiastic about going on holiday there as I am about going to Egypt.
The ICW agreed to pin the devastation and deaths on a tropical storm, Grace said. However, it absolutely failed to get either side to stop, and the Muggles will only buy so much before they start to get suspicious.
So what happens? Gabby asked. Vare and Greece exchanged a long look.
We don't know,
Greece nodded.
The ICW has a right to intervene if the statute of secrecy is threatened, but it's never had to intervene because its own members are risking our world's discovery.
And the more countries involved, the harder it is for the ICW to pass any resolution.
A cold prickle ran down Harry's spine. If this had happened 20 years ago, would the ICW have sent Dumbledore?
Yes, Greece said. But Albus Dumbledore is dead, and there is no wizard of such power who can go in his stead.
Try telling Neville that. Harry studied the stones between his feet.
Merde.
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded, Q QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.